1 Corinthians chapter 18. Don't get nervous. I won't be over an hour. No. I'm going to give you the gist of this. The Lord gave me this thought. I've preached on this before, but it just never come to the way. So I don't think, even though my notes are 3 pages, I don't think that I'll be but just a few moments. And I hope that you'll, and I'm not trying to limit the Lord, you understand? I'm just trying to be conscious of the time. Stand with me if you will, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll begin reading with verse 17 and hope to read through verse 24. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Of course, you know this is the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Lord. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews, notice this now, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Here it is. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Let's pray. My Father, I bow before you today to thank you for the privilege to be back in this partner church that has labored with us to see your work done. And I thank you for it and for all of the souls that have been saved, though they may have been few, but all of the work that has been done to the glory of God. My Father, the foundational things have been laid that the work of God may go on. I thank you, Lord, that because of this church helping us to stay on the field, that there has been other missionaries that have went to the field and are on the field and are laboring for you. Preachers have been called and souls have been saved and churches have been started and missions giving is still increasing. Thank you for what you're doing. Use me today for this little while. Help me to be timely. Help me, Lord, just to go to the meat of the message, and may you use it to speak to hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll just throw one other thing in. Lord willing, tonight I'll give you an opportunity for some questions if you have any questions. I just want to speak to you about this thought today, the message of the cross. The message of the cross. And the main gist of the message is today that the cross is an offense. It's an offense. It amazes me that you can talk to people, you can meet a total stranger and you can talk to them about the weather, you can talk to them about hunting. I started to say you can talk to the men about hunting. Some of the ladies now are hunting. I know ladies that are deer hunting and fathers that are teaching their daughters to deer hunt and different things like that. But anyway, you bring up the cross. You bring up the gospel, and all of a sudden, you can see many of them's countenance change. I met a man in Washington, Kansas, a young preacher in our church, asked me to go visit with him. He got acquainted with that man. He reminded him of his grandfather in Virginia. And he asked me to go with him to speak to him. And he had told me a little about it. So we had some conversation. He had been a man that owned a salvage yard. He liked cars. This other young man worked in a body shop, and we talked cars for a little while. We talked about farming. He lived on a farm and all of this. And then I brought up Jesus, and it was just like a demon. He flew into a rage. He was an old man. He was on a hospital bed. He flew into a rage and screamed for me to leave his room and never come back. And before that I could leave, he began to call for the nurses and all of this and was ordering me out. I done it twice. Same thing happened. Guess what I learned? I learned that when he was a boy, they was going to a church in Washington, Kansas. It was a Baptist church, an American Baptist. They rode a wagon and went there. Christmas time came, and he told the other young man, he didn't tell me, but Christmas came, and the preacher gave candy to all of the children that was coming to church, except him and his siblings. We don't know whether they was overlooked or whether the pastor had something against them. We don't know what happened. But the father didn't handle it well. Whatever the situation, on the way back home, that old man said, "My dad said to me, or to us, we'll never go to church again." And he said, "I have never been back to church again except for a wedding or a funeral." He wanted nothing to do with God. Just a couple of months later, he died. As far as I know, died without God. Can you imagine going to hell over a piece of candy? But the offense, however it was handled, whatever caused that, the offense goes back to the cross. He was offended because of this, would not listen. No one else could reach him. My pastor told me when you go out, and when I was a young preacher, he said, when you go out visiting, he said, bear in mind that you may only be there to sow the seed, or you may only be there to water the seed. He said, leave that door open for someone to come behind you. Don't push on that man so much that he'll reject the next person coming. And so I think that's pretty good advice. And so I look at this scripture and I find, of course, the central element of Christianity is the cross. It's the symbol of the cross around the world. We see that. I know the fish is up there for Christianity and all of this, and there's a story behind that. But he talked about the foolishness of preaching. Now, preaching is not foolishness. You understand that. But the world looks at it as such. I've got a man that I have prayed for over 40 years. I have been praying now. He lives back in North Carolina. I've been praying that he's one of the ones that the Lord let me reach when I go home. I've visited him for 31 years as we've been in Kansas and kept contact with him to be friends and all of this. He's told me I'm a fool. He's told me that he don't believe how anyone can believe what I believe, that you can have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just keep going back because I'm not going to give up until he's told me he wants me to do his funeral and all of this. But he just don't believe that a woman could have a baby without a man being involved. You see, he's looking at the natural side. So he believes what we believe is foolishness. But if he'd only trust the Lord and become saved, he'd realize that instead of the cross being foolishness, it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm going to give you these two thoughts, and I'm through. He said here that in verse 24, excuse me, verse 22, He said the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek wisdom. So there's different reasons that they're looking at the cross as being foolishness. He said, we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block. Unto the Greeks, foolishness. So the Jews, they stumbled over the cross. The Jews stumbled over it because they said it's foolishness. Why would they say that? And this is what broke in on me one day, and that's the reason I say it's the gist of the message. The Jews, they read scriptures like Psalm 2, where it says, break them with a rod of iron. That's what's being said about the Messiah that they're looking for to come. They read such things as, dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. But then they see the Lord Jesus Christ that many was saying is the Messiah that was to come. And they look at him and they say, we're not seeing him rule with a rod of iron. We're not seeing him dash our enemies to pieces. We're seeing him crucified on the cross. And it was a stumbling block. You see, they missed Isaiah chapter 2. Where it tells about the suffering servant that the Messiah would be. And so they looked beyond that and they was looking for the one that would come. Yes, one day he will rule with a rod of iron. One day he will dash his enemies to pieces. But first he had to come as that suffering Savior, die on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood that sinners might be saved. So it's a stumbling block to them because of that. Then we looked at the other part about the Greeks, and the Greeks looked to wisdom, and so they said it's foolishness. Why would they say that it was foolishness? Well, you know that the Romans had the nation of Israel under rule at that time. They were ruling them. They were, and can't you imagine them around the cross seeing him? And I know that we don't have this recorded, but can't you imagine them saying, and those foolish Jews thought he was powerful enough to be the ruler of the world. You see, they loved power. They worshiped a god of war. They worshiped, the Greeks, the Gentiles worshiped power. And they're seeing that we have power over him to crucify him. And so we could never follow one like this. If he can't save himself, how can he save anyone else? Must have been some of their thoughts. But you see, they didn't know. It's not over yet. The last word has not been spoken. They thought that the world had crucified him. But Jesus had laid down his life, and he knew. And we know today that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And that's Acts 4:12 referring to Jesus. So as we bring that message, this message, to a conclusion, let me ask you some questions. Do you stumble at the message of the cross? A fellow said to me one time, I was out knocking doors in Hillsboro. He and his girlfriend was working on a car and she was watching him. And when I started to witness to him, told him who I was and everything, he said, I don't believe in anything that I can't see. And that little mean streak rose up in me. And I said, did you know that I can take the very words that you just said and prove that you don't have a brain? He looked at me kind of funny. His girlfriend chuckled. And I said, I can't see it. We believe in a lot of things we can't see. I looked up because I got there somewhere. I looked up and Kansas wind blows all the time. I looked up at a tree right there and I said, look at that tree. Look at those leaves. Look at the limbs. I said, what's going on? Why is that tree shaking like that? I just acted like I was flabbergasted. I said, why is that tree shaking like that? And he looked at me like he thought I was foolish. And he said, why, it's the wind. I said, how do you know? You can't see it. Yeah, he said, I can. I said, no, you can't. You can just see its power. Well, anyway, some people stumble at things that maybe they haven't thought all the way through. I was not trying to make that young man look foolish. I was trying to make him think to where maybe somebody could reach him for the Lord. You may think the cross and the message of the cross is foolishness. But if you never change your mind, one day you'll realize it was not when you end up in a lake of fire, never to escape, where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Some people despise the message of the cross. Some people despise the message of the cross. Some people mock at the message of the cross. And some people ignore the message of the cross. But the fact remains that the cross is the essential thing. And when I say the cross, you know I'm talking about what happened on the cross. It is not the cross. It is not the old rugged cross. It is not that wooden thing that saves anyone. You can't carry a cross in your pocket or around the neck and it bring you salvation, but it is what happened on that cross, and salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our sins, and whosoever will believe on Him can have eternal life. And if you do not believe on Him, John 3:18 says you're condemned already. The message of the cross to the Jews is a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, it was foolishness. What is the message of the cross to you? As your pastor comes and concludes the service as the Lord would lead him, shall we stand together for just a moment and then he can conclude it from there. Father, take the message and honor your name with it. Take the things said. May you be glorified. Guide us all. Save that one that's lost. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, preacher.